Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Lord, you are wisdom. You are power, might, love, grace, mercy. And so, Lord, today, may we be reminded how to walk in wisdom, which is walking in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have looked at the context, and it's kind of important that we go back and get it again today because we missed last time. But walking in light, verses 7 through 14 in chapter 5, and walking in love, verses 1 through 6 of chapter 5, those are truths that you have as a believer in Christ. Light, the light of Christ, and the love of God, those are yours, and you are to walk in them. And to put this into the context of the entire book of Ephesians again, from chapter 1 all the way through chapter 4, walking in your identity and riches in Christ that are all included in your salvation. So in your salvation is your inheritance, your riches, forgiveness, grace, all spiritual blessings, the Holy Spirit being seated with Christ in heavenly places, blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, everything that is in Christ. If you need to, go back and read chapters 1 through 4 again, and be reminded of this. So we are walking in those things that are ours in Christ. Now, today we're talking about wisdom. Walk as wise. Wisdom, verse 15. At salvation, every believer has been made wise in Christ. There is no such thing as an unsaved person who is wise. The wisdom of man is foolishness to God. There's no such thing as a wise, unsaved person. All believers in Christ have been made wise. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. The scriptures, the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. In your salvation is wisdom, the wisdom of God that saves you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. By his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is the wisdom of God. We came back to 1 Corinthians 1:30 again and again and again when we were going through the book of Proverbs. Wisdom in Proverbs is Christ. The wisdom of the believer is Christ. You have Christ, you have wisdom from God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. In whom, that is in Jesus, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay, how much wisdom is in Jesus? All of it. And you, as a believer, are in Jesus. Therefore, how much wisdom, as a believer, do you have? All of it. Wow. Say, I didn't know I was that wise. Well, you are, but there are other New Testament admonitions that teach us that beginning at our salvation, when we receive that wisdom, we are to grow in it. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're to grow in the wisdom that you have. Say, well, I'm not sure that I have the wisdom that I need. Well, James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, do what? Ask of God, who gives it. God gives it generously. You say, oh, I'm not sure that I have it to grow. Well, if you're saved, you do. But ask the Lord, and he will show it to you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, we pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Pray. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Wisdom from the Word of God. So wisdom, you grow in wisdom by prayer and the Word of God. Growing in wisdom. Now, in our passage today, we have a command. And the command is for walking in wisdom. You could say growing in wisdom. Now here's how the command is stated in verse 15. Be careful how you walk. Be careful how you walk. Quite literally, see accurately or carefully how you are walking. Be careful how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Now, do we really need to be careful or observant how we walk? How we walk in wisdom? Anybody ever gone on a hike through the woods and you've been on a path, or maybe you were making your own path, but you were on a path that you came to a point where it was overgrown with thorns, you know, briars, all kinds of stuff. And you forgot your machete. So what do you have to do? Can you just walk without regard through all those stickers and all that? Well, if you do, you're going to get a lot of scratches on you, aren't you? You need to walk carefully through that. Otherwise, there are things in there that can get you. So it's important to walk carefully, to see accurately how you are walking. Now, the means for this, not as unwise, and the unwise or foolish are the unsaved. And chapter 4, verses 17 through 20, and chapter 5, verses 3 through 7, give us an indication of that. Remember, there's no such thing as a wise, unsaved person. Now, they may claim wisdom, but it's man's wisdom, it's not God's. So, no such thing as a wise, unsaved person. So, not as unwise. This brings up a question, though. Can believers act like fools? Can they? I know you never did. The answer is yes, they can. Now, does that mean they are fools? No. Believers are not fools. They are wise. They have been made wise by Christ. But sometimes they're not walking and growing in wisdom. So yes, it's possible to act like a fool even when you're not one. Now, should you act like a fool when that's not what you are? No, because that is not honest. You're not even acting like who you are. You're giving a dishonest impression. You are wise in Christ, so don't act like a fool. But walk as wise, verse 15. The wise are the saved. And wisdom always begins, we saw this again and again in Proverbs, didn't we? Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Believers who have the fear of the Lord, the knowledge of God, that is the beginning of wisdom. So, how do we walk in wisdom? Not as unwise, but as wise. And verse 16, making the most of your time. Making the most of your time. Now, the word for time is kairos. It is not chronos. So this is not making the most of clock time. This is making the most of the time, the appropriate time for opportunities. We could say making the most of every opportunity, making the most of appropriate moments. Make the most of your time. Now, why? Well, here's a reason. Make the most of your time because the days, that is the time, your opportunities, your days are limited. Make the most of your time. Your days are limited. Psalm 39. Verses 4 and 5. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. Behold, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my lifetime as nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. You realize life compared to eternity is short. You're limited in this. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. You say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. You don't know. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, the Apostle Paul made it very clear that he wanted to accomplish his ministry in the time that he had. The Lord had given him a ministry to accomplish. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, Paul said, he did it. He finished his course. He accomplished it. And he realized that now his time of departure had come, and he's looking for the return of Jesus. In Romans 13, 11 through 14, which we've looked at in previous weeks, we understand that we are to know the time, that the time is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Time is short. Say, well, I will accomplish this tomorrow, the next day, the next day. You don't know that. You have now. So make the most of your opportunities. That's walking in wisdom. Now, why else should we make the most of our time? Verse 16 also tells us, because the days are evil. Now, when it says the days are evil, doesn't mean, okay, this is Sunday. Oh, Sunday is so evil. Tomorrow's Monday. Oh, Monday's evil too. And Tuesday's evil. No, the point of this, it's a metonymy. The idea is these are the days in which evil people and evil influences are all around us. So be careful how you walk, because there are thorns and briars. There's evil all around you. And if you're not careful how you walk, it will get you. So be careful of it. People in this age and demonic influence in this age. Be careful of it. Then there's a command, another command, verse 17, for walking in the Lord's will. It's stated negatively, do not be foolish, verse 17. But then it's stated positively, understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, when you read the will of the Lord, you need to read something that is very dynamic, not static. Well, here's what I mean. The will of the Lord is the Lord's desires. It's what the Lord desires. That's the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord is not some kind of a box that, okay, God has this will for your life, and it's all pre-planned and pre-programmed, and you just have to figure out what it is and do it. That's not what this is. The will of God is what God desires. That's what the word will means. God desires. So God desires things, and He tells us very clearly, and we won't take the time to, we could look at numbers of them today, but just a couple in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3 and chapter 5 verse 18. What is the will of God? Your sanctification. That you abstain from sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is never the desire of God for you. It's not the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will. You want to know God's will? Here it is. Be thankful in everything, in every situation, all day long, all the time. That's God's desire. You know. Now, if you're trying to figure out what the static box is, you know, well, I want to know God's will for my job, for my career, for my marriage. You know, that's not how you find the term the will of God used in your Bible. But I can tell you this. You won't know what you call the will of God for your job or your marriage or other things. You won't know the will of God for that if you're living in sexual immorality and if you don't have a grateful heart. Because those things are definitely the will of God. He's revealed His will, and His will is that we would please Him. We are to grow in it. The end of verse 17, understand what the will of the Lord is, what the desire of the Lord is. Understand this. Well, how do you understand it? Well, the Bible tells you. Tells you what pleases Him. Understanding what is God's desire. It is that you would please Him all the time. Your whole life is to give God pleasure. To give Him honor. To give Him glory. Understand what pleases Him, what the will of the Lord is. Now, Jesus is our amazing, perfect example in this. You do know Jesus, as a child, grew in wisdom. Say, but He had all wisdom. He was all wisdom. Yeah, but He still, in His humanity, had to grow in it. So do we. Jesus operated according to the opportunities of a prophetic timetable. Again and again He would say, "My time has not yet come. It's not yet time. It's not yet time." And then finally, in John 17:1, He said, "The hour has come. Now is the time. Now is the opportunity." It was the time of His betrayal and death. Jesus constantly saw what His Father was doing in heaven, and that's what Jesus did. He was always pleasing His Father. And Jesus accomplished the work He was given to do. Jesus walked in wisdom. If you're saved, you're in Him, and all that He accomplished is yours in Him. Grow in it. Enjoy it. And if you've never trusted in Jesus for your salvation, you're not in Him. You can be in Him if that's your desire. The Spirit of God is at work in you, drawing you to Him, to faith in Him. Trust in Him today, and all of these benefits that are here in Ephesians will be yours.